The Baseball Tonight podcast is presented by LinkedIn Jobs.
Way out of here. Oh,
goodness. This is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Monday, May the 10th, 2021. Producing from today, McLean, Virginia, is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Tim Kirkchin. I'm in a hotel room here in Bristol, Connecticut. I've spent more time here than in my house during the regular season, but all good here. On Friday, we had another no-hitter. This one from the Reds, Wade Miley, baseball's fastest working pitcher. This is what it sounded like at the end.
Here's the 1-1. Swing. A weak grounder to short. Farmer in. He has it to first, and that's it! A no-hitter for Wade Miley! The 17th no-hitter in Reds history. And the first for the veteran left-hander.
This was the fourth no-hitter of the season. The record is 8, set in 84. That is 1884. Potentially huge news for a Cy Young and MVP candidate. Jacob DeGrom had to exit his start after 5 innings. The right-hander got the win, but departed with right side tightness after throwing 2 warm-up pitches before the 6th inning against the Diamondbacks. He was pitching for the first time since skipping a start because of the right lat issue. He'll get an MRI today. Here's what it sounded like.
DeGrom is coming off of a right lat injury and breezed through the first 4 perfectly. Struggled noticeably in the 5th when he walked 3 batters, and there's a long conversation, and I think Jacob's coming out of this game. Jacob DeGrom is going to walk back to the dugout with Brian Ciclo. Now the DeGrom question gets murkier.
And here's Mets manager Luis Rojas after the game.
He's going for an MRI just to see what's going on there, see how he is and have a clear view. You know, right side tightness, it's what we have from our medical staff here. More so in his lower back area on the right side. But they're taking a look. So, you know, once we get the results back, we'll know how he is. Yeah, it's different. It's the right side. But now it's more like in the lower back area rather than, you know, a little higher where it was, the tightness. No pain whatsoever. So it's just tightness. That's what he told our trainer. So, and we'll see. Like I said, we send him to get an MRI today, Sunday, and we'll see when we get the results back how he is.
White Sox manager Tony La Russa says there's no fit for Albert Pujols in his lineup. La Russa said, quote, "We have Jose Abreu and Yermín Mercedes, and even if Yermín gets less hot, it's a good way to DH other guys, get them off their feet," La Russa said Friday afternoon. "There is no fit here, unfortunately." La Russa managed Pujols in St. Louis for the first 11 years of his career before the future Hall of Fame slugger joined the Los Angeles Angels as a free agent. He and La Russa have stayed close over the years, with the manager even joining the Angels last year as an advisor before accepting the White Sox managerial job in 2021. Reliever Shane Green has signed a 1-year contract to rejoin the Braves. Green, who was optioned to AAA Gwinnett, will need some time to get ready before he returns to the big leagues. The right-hander went 1-0 with a 2.60 ERA and 21 strikeouts in 27 and two-thirds innings last year. Braves relievers began Sunday with a 4.56 ERA that ranked 22nd in the major leagues. So last night, the Braves beat the Phillies 6-1. Freddie Freeman hit a home run like on command. This was the radio call. Something cool happened with the TV call.
And Aaron Nola deals to Freddie Freeman, who swings and lifts one in the air out towards left center field. This ball's back. This one's got a chance. And that ball is gone. Freddie Freeman homers on Mother's Day. And the Braves have extended their lead. It is now 5-1.
You know, they say pitchers aren't athletes, but Tyler Matzek, over the head, behind the back double play, was a remarkable play last night.
The 3-2. Swing and a bouncer. Back up the middle. Caught by Matzik. Throw to second for one. On to first two. A no-look grab by Matzik. Kind of behind the back. And he was able to grab it. Throw to second to start the double play. And I think it goes 1-6-3.
Wow. That was incredible. That will be a highlight all through the night.
Fernando Tatis Jr. just crushes the ball on the road this year. Not quite so much at home, but last night on the road, he hit a two-run homer.
Here's the pitch from Cueto. Ooh. That one is launched deep to left center field. Duggar's going back, looking up, gonna go. A two-run homer for Fernando Tatis Jr. The Padres' second two-run homer of the inning. I'll do the math for you. 4-0 San Diego in the second.
The White Sox, your mean Mercedes, just keeps on hitting. Here's a two-run double.
The 1-0 pitch. Mercedes is swinging down the line and fair. Third baseline. One run will come home. Grandal will score as well. As the ball bounces away from Salvador Perez, and your mean Mercedes is in the third. Another two on the board for the White Sox. 5-1.
And Giancarlo Stanton has found his swing again. He had the game-winning RBI yesterday against the Nationals.
Now here's the 2-2 to Giancarlo. Swung on, base hit, line to left field. Wade scores, ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
Before we get to Buster on a baggage claim Monday, the NBA play-in tournament is happening May 18th through the 21st. It's a new, exciting twist to determine who makes the playoffs in both conferences. The 7th through 10th place teams vying for the 7th and 8th spots. Some teams are currently playing to avoid the tournament, and others are desperately trying to get in. At the end of the regular season, the 7th and 8th place teams square off. The winner gets locked into the number 7 seed. The loser plays the winner of the game between the 9th and 10th place team. The winner of that game clinches the 8th seed. ESPN is your home for all the drama, Wednesday, May 19th, and Friday, May 21st. And check out the Woj Pod. The NBA season is coming down the home stretch, and no one is more plugged in than our guy Woj. You can follow the Woj Pod wherever you listen to podcasts.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Buster. Just go to Indeed.com/Buster right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Buster.
Terms and conditions apply.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, your flight to Bristol has been delayed once again. But for your entertainment purposes, please listen to the Baggage Claim Monday edition of the Baseball Tonight podcast with Buster Olney. The White Zone is for immediate unloading and loading of passengers only. No parking in the White Zone. Thank you.
So this is a Baggage Claim Monday. I am hosting for Buster Olney today. Buster, where are you and what are you doing?
Well, Tim, thank you for filling in again. I am at the Atlanta airport, and I just want to give you a pro tip. If you're looking for a quiet place to do a podcast, the world's busiest airport is not a good place. Okay?
But Buster, this is quite a life you've carved out for yourself here, just finding these little cubby holes in the most crowded airports in America. How long did it take you to find this spot?
Well, I didn't actually really find a spot. I think, and you'll agree with me, because you do the radio interviews, that sometimes you'll be doing them from airports or crowded places, and you feel bad for everybody around you, right? I feel terrible because, you got people passing through, probably coming off a red eye, and then they hear some idiot screaming about baseball at 7:10 in the morning.
Right. Well, God bless you. Okay, let's get to the news of the week. Wade Miley of the Reds threw the fourth no-hitter of the season. That doesn't include the seven-inning no-hitter by Madison Bumgarner. It was masterful the way he cut that ball in on right-handed hitters through that great changeup. And here's what he had to say after the game.
Sixth inning, all my buddies left me, and I was like, I don't like that. I don't like thinking about pitching. I want to talk about something else, talk about fishing, talk about hitting. And there was nobody to talk to. I felt DJ Scoot like, over 2 or 3 feet. I'm like, come on, Deej.
Was it getting more and more antsy for you in the top of the ninth? You're obviously, your guys are scoring for you, and that's great, but you obviously had to sit a while too.
That's probably when I felt it the most. You're sitting there. I knew what was going on in the eighth, but it was 0-0. Obviously, hats off to Plesac, threw a great game, and nobody knows what's happening. And then we scratched three across in the ninth, and it was kind of slow and playing pretty slow. And I didn't want to go throw in the hallway because I was pretty tired. Didn't want to go waste any bullets, but at the same time, I wanted to stay loose. And that's definitely where the pressure set in, and was able to go out and get three pretty quick ones and make it happen.
And Buster, talking about pretty quick ones, Wade Miley works faster than anyone in the big leagues, which makes him every media person's favorite pitcher in the big leagues because he works fast. What did you make of his no-hitter, and what do you make of all these no-hitters so far?
So first off, his answer after the game shocked me because I was not aware that Wade Miley felt any pressure ever. He's one of those guys, I think you'll agree with me, who seems completely comfortable in his own skin. Oh, by the way, he owns a bunch of cows, which I approve of. But I was shocked to hear that answer because he's always looked like he's completely at ease. And about all the no hitters, I had a general manager predict to me in early April that he thinks that there are going to be 15 to 20 no hitters this year. And oh, by the way, the record is 8 in one season, set in 1884. But his feeling was the pitchers have become so dominant. You know, the numbers bear that out. The league wide batting average going into Sunday's game is .234. That's the lowest in the modern era. The strikeout rate was 24.2%, meaning one out of every four hitters is striking out. That's the highest rate in the modern era. And this executive and others have said to me, they think that pitchers have refined the ability to spin baseballs, a lot of them perhaps using foreign substances like pine tar. As general manager said, it's like they're throwing wiffle balls out there, Tim.
Yeah, and I'm worried for the game in that respect, Buster. We've been over this. It is so hard to get a hit these days. We have lost the value of the hit. We're no longer teaching our players. It's a good thing to hit a ground ball over there through that hole and get a knock. We don't teach that anymore. We just teach them to get the ball up in the air and try to drive it and do some serious damage. And this is why Joe Musgrove, who's not the most overpowering pitcher in the world. John Means, not an overpowering pitcher. They're really good, don't get me wrong. And Wade Miley, when he can, again, he can carve you up with everything he's got. But the point is, it's not just the overpowering stuff that is stopping hitters today. It's almost all good stuff because they're geared up to hit something hard. You throw something soft in there, they can't hit it either. And I think we're going to see several more no-hitters before this season goes along. And I know this is off the topic, but James Karanchuk of the Indians, he has 10 times as many strikeouts as he has hits allowed. He's allowed three hits and 30 strikeouts in 15 innings. That's by far the greatest rate of strikeout to hit ever. I know he's a reliever, so he might not be a part of a no-hitter, but Aroldis Chapman is striking out 9 batters for every hit that he allows. I'm not saying this is unhealthy, Buster, but something has to be done here. Otherwise, we're going to hit 233 all year, and people are going to be wondering about our hitters. Well, they have to make an adjustment, but that's a huge adjustment to make in season.
Yeah, and Tim, I remember when they started last year with that rule of putting the runner at second base in the 10th inning, you were one of the folks who didn't like it. I got to say, not only did I like it at the outset, but I think you would agree with me to this point. The cool thing about it is once we get to that spot, it spurs a lot of action. Like, for 9 innings, you might not have that much action, but all of a sudden in the 10th inning, it's like, well, do they bunt? Do they move does someone hit the opposite field? What do you do with the fielding? Just something to spur action. I always enjoy when we get to extra innings.
Yeah, I'm still not in favor of the runner at second, but again, I'm starting to worry more and more every day about the lack of hits, not home runs, hits, and the number of strikeouts. Buster, we've had 15 games this year already where a team won the game striking out 15 or more times. Think about that. 15 strikeouts and you win. It's happened 15 times and we're on May the 10th. That is ridiculous. All right, we have to switch gears here to another strikeout pitcher, the best pitcher in the game, Jacob DeGrom. He came out of the game after throwing a couple warm-up pitches in the 6th inning because of pain in that side. Look, Buster, they call this precautionary, but when we're talking about somebody this good, it's got to be beyond precautionary. Where are we on Jacob DeGrom? Where is your level of concern?
It's about a 9 on a scale of 1 to 10, because Jacob DeGrom is the most important person in that organization. You know, I picked him to win the National League MVP this year. He's as good a pitcher as I've seen since Pedro Martinez in the late 90s. And here's the other thing, too. I think you'll agree with me on this. When Jacob DeGrom takes himself out of the game, you know that that's a circumstance where he's been working through it. In other words, he's just not going to feel one twinge in an isolated moment and say, oh, I'm done. That's something you could tell probably was building up with him, because that's his personality, Tim.
Yeah, and that worried me too. He's such a great athlete, such great shape, but it worries me again, Buster. Jim Palmer told me years ago, our best pitchers are long and lean and loose, like Jim Palmer, Dennis Martinez from a different era. And sometimes I wonder, our pitchers, our players are too big, they're too ripped, they're too cut, and they're in such good shape, they get hurt a lot, if that makes any sense. And that's what really worries me about DeGrom. This is not the first injury. We got a million pitchers hurt. What are we going to do about this?
Well, I there's no way to prove it, but I absolutely believe, and I know a lot of folks who work in baseball believe, that this pursuit of velocity is contributing significantly to the number of injuries we're seeing. But a lot of people wondering, are a lot of these guys not physiologically built to throw this hard? And it's not only, throwing one pitch at 100 miles per hour. Tim, they throw as hard as they possibly can on every pitch. And you understand the rationale behind it. But you think of if you were driving a sports car and you were to put it at maximum speed, from the beginning to the end, it's going to blow out.
Yeah, I'm worried about this. Oral Hershiser told me once in the mid-80s, pitching in the National League when the ball wasn't flying, and he said, you know, 7, 8, 9 guys, I could just cruise through an inning, throw a couple sinkers and sliders, 8 pitches, I'm out of there. He said it doesn't work that way anymore. Every pitch now is a max effort pitch for these guys, and they're all seeking to throw 100 miles an hour. And you're right. I think that's eventually going to take its toll on all of our pitchers, and we're starting to see them go down one by one. All right, switching gears again. We had this bizarre situation with the Mets, with Francisco Lindor and Jeff McNeil. And we have a Bleacher tweet about the whole thing, whether it was a squirrel or a possum or a giant rat or something. So we've got a lot of rodents. We got a lot of animals around the game here, Buster. Do you have any, the Bleacher tweet asked, do you have any, you know, animal related stories for baseball?
Yeah, and that Bleacher tweet from a regular listener, Amy Chapman. First off, about what happened, I think, you know, it's clear that there was a confrontation between Lindor and McNeil in that moment. I love the look on Michael Conforto's face that SNY captured as he's coming off the field, and he realizes that all these people have gone into the runway behind the dugout, and then he sprints down there, and a bunch of players go in there. The previous inning, there had been some confusion between Lindor and McNeil. And Tim, you and I know this sort of thing happens all the time. You know, there's a lot of pressure on these guys now. There's a lot of pressure on Lindor. He's off to a slow start. And he probably didn't like McNeil's indecisiveness on that play. And he said something and they went at it. And so they concocted the story afterward. Lindor did, when he said that they were having a disagreement about whether or not this big rodent down in the runway was a rat or a raccoon. Jack Scott, who's the interim general manager of the Mets, came out yesterday and said that he didn't subscribe to that, that he thought it took away, suggested that that wouldn't have been the way he would have handled it. It may have taken away from when I didn't. Tim, I don't care. Like they do that because, you know, we've had so many players through the years deflect questions about confrontations and clubhouse conversations in so many ways. So that didn't bother me at all. In terms of answering Amy's question about animals, I had a special experience with that. When I covered the Padres in 93 and 94, working in Jack Murphy Stadium, that was down in Mission Valley, which it was like an active zoo. Like every night, because there were no fans in the stands, to be sitting up there, Tim, writing game stories, and it was like a game preserve would come through the ballpark as they came in to feast on the popcorn and the peanuts that were left over. I saw coyotes. I saw hawks, I saw tons of skunks, all kinds of animals late at night. What about you?
Well, these are terrible stories, but Randy Johnson hit a dove in a spring training game with a pitch, accidentally, of course, and killed it on the way to the plate. I mean, it was the worst explosion I've ever seen. Dave Winfield killed a seagull in Toronto. It was an accident, but something happened with a throw. It was awful. I hate that. On a much nicer level and irrelevant level, my dad, God bless him, used to take our dog Bogey to watch my brothers play. And my brother Matt was was playing a college summer league, and Bogey got off the leash and ran out onto the field to see my brother. My brother had to walk him off the field. Bogey, you have to go back to pop now, okay? So we love animals. I love animals, and I love animals getting on the field, but I'm glad everybody's still safe. Okay.
Tim, just a second. Do you agree with me about the Lindor McNeil thing? I didn't think
it was. Oh, yeah. Buster, sorry. Yes. That was the most ridiculous excuse that I've ever heard. It's okay to say, I had a fight with my brother today. He's my brother. We love each other. We're teammates. We're second baseman, shortstop. We have a different relationship. It's okay to say, I got in a scrap with him. It's over with. To make up some ridiculous story was totally unimportant. I've seen it a million times where teammates go after each other and the next day they're best friends. It's all right. Okay, you did the Braves-Phillies last night. You had a really cool moment with Andrew McCutchen, like right off the bat. What happened?
Yeah, so for the second straight Sunday, he hit a home run in his first plate appearance. And what I thought, Tim, was so cool was, in this mic'd up moment, he was wearing a microphone for us last night, was that you got like insight into a great athlete, something you and I don't know anything about. Andrew McCutchen is standing in the on deck circle and the microphone caught him basically saying to himself, you're the best. You're the best. He's talking to himself. And then he hits the first pitch for a home run. Give a listen.
Just like that. Just like that, baby. Like I said, I'm the best. Come on.
How about that, Tim? How fun was that?
Well, that was great. And I think, Buster, in today's big leagues, as a hitter, you have to go to the plate every single time, no matter who you are, saying, I'm the best. I can hit this guy, because otherwise you can't. The stuff is so good. I think you have to convince yourself, I'm better than that guy 60 feet, 6 inches away, because most nights, by the way, you're not. So if you can actually convince yourself that you can hit this guy, maybe it will give you a better shot at it. And I love McCutchen doing that, because that's so typical Andrew McCutchen. All right, switching gears again. Freddie Freeman had a great pregame moment last night with you and a great game. So tell us, set this up and tell us what happened.
So this was a lot of fun. On Friday, we did one of these rapid fire interviews. You're going to hear the whole interview later in the podcast. And in the midst of that, I asked him what his plans were for Mother's Day for his wife, Chelsea, who, of course, she is the mother of their three sons. In the last year, she gave birth, and also Freddie and Chelsea had another son through a surrogate, and Freddie was laughing. I said, what have you seen in Chelsea since these, the little boys were born? And he said, bags under eyes, and he was laughing. And I asked, okay, what are you going to do for Mother's Day? And he kind of shrugged his shoulders. He was like, I don't hit a home run. And, and then we played that interview when he was coming up in last night's game. And in the midst of playing that interview, Tim, he hits a home run.
Oh, that was beautiful. And I love the part where he said, well, maybe I'll hit a home run. And then they had his beautiful pause and he goes, well, maybe I'll just get a hit. I haven't had many of those lately either. So, and that was beautiful. And it was so classic Freddie Freeman, who's like the most down to earth, normal, great player I think I've ever met now after all these years. And that was a tremendous moment. So when he hits his homer, Buster, what were you doing? How did you react after it connected with your interview?
I raised my hands in the air like, oh my God, this happened. You know, and then I was, we were talking with the producers about, should we cut off the interview after he says he's going to hit a home run? They wound up playing, parts of the answers in which he talked about, his connection with Anthony Rizzo this year, when Anthony Rizzo called him Frederick, when Anthony Rizzo pitched to him. And that was fun part of the interview too, Tim, because he made it very clear that late in his career, he wants a showdown with Anthony Rizzo. And he promised me, I'm not going to be in there throwing slop. I'm not going to be in there just lobbing the ball in there the way Rizzo was with me. Made it clear he's going to be throwing hard.
Right. That is so great. And just to repeat, I'll never forget when he was mic'd up, Freddie Freeman was mic'd up, scored on an infield pop-up a few years ago. Chipper Jones was in the booth, and Freddie Freeman slides into the plate. He's safe. And the first thing he does, he turns to the press box. Chipper is sitting right next to me. He raises his hands like, did you see me? Like, he's so playful about this, which is just so refreshing that a star player can actually have a little bit of fun doing this. It's so great. Okay, the Braves signed Shane Green, another reliever for their bullpen. What does this mean for them, Buster?
Well, for the Braves, for a lot of teams, boy, there's going to be bullpen makeovers, because relievers, as you know, are hot stocks. They go up, they go down. They signed Shane Green, 32 years old, 313 games in the big leagues, a 2019 All-Star. He's going to start out the minor leagues. He's going to probably get a couple appearances down there, and then he'll be in the big leagues. But Tim, we're going to see this all over baseball, where you're going to see dozens and dozens of relievers move before the trade deadline.
Yeah, I mean, they're so valuable these days because they get so much work and we need them so often. It's unbelievable the amount of the value that our relievers have, because our starters just aren't being pushed anymore, which I think is a big mistake. But you're right. I hope they're all getting paid, because they all have such an important role on these teams. And I agree. I think guys are going to get moved and moved before the trade deadline. They're going to come up, they're going to go down, and this is the best way to do it. Speaking of up and down, Albert Pujols DFA'd by the Angels. This is one of the great players of all time. For me, Lou Gehrig's the greatest first baseman ever. After that, it's either Jimmy Fox or Albert Pujols. As far as right-handed hitters go in major league history, this is totally subjective. This is my list. I would go Rogers Hornsby, Jimmy Fox, Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, Albert Pujols. That would be my list. That's how good he has been. He is the only player ever to hit 600 homers, 3,000 hits, and win two World Series. Ever. That's how good he has been, and yet he is out of a job. What do you think about Albert Pujols' career, Buster? And more important, what do you think about where this goes from here?
Yeah, Tim, I felt in recent days like Dr. Doom. For example, I was on a radio show with our friend Bernie Miklas the other day in St. Louis, and he was asking me about, you know, what are potential fits? And you feel bad saying, I don't think there are any fits. You know, the other day, Tony La Russa said, you know, that he doesn't see a fit there. People wondered if Albert might wind up with the White Sox because La Russa has such, you know, high regard for him. But as I said on the podcast the other day, that conversation about letting Albert go has been going on in the Angels organization for 2 or 3 years. I think there are a lot of people around baseball at this stage because he doesn't add flexibility in terms of positionally. You're not going to use him as a pinch runner, obviously. You're not going to use him as a defensive replacement. I'm struggling to find a place that actually will take a shot at him, especially with no DH in the National League, Tim.
Yeah, and I hope he gets a job, but I'm sorry, it's going to have to be an American League team where they have a DH, and sorry, he's not going to be able to play every day like he wants. He wants to play first base every day. That's not going to happen. I think he would be an everyday DH. I don't think that's going to happen either. I just hate it when a player can't go out on his own terms. Mike Hargrove told me many, many years ago, when he was the manager of the Indians, he said, never, ever release a Hall of Fame player and tell him your career is over. Hargrove had to do that with Dave Winfield and said it was awful. And no one with the Angels said your career is over. But when you get released in the last year of a 10-year deal, that is a possibility. And I hope there are better days ahead for Albert Pujols. But if there aren't any more days, let's again understand that it's possible he had the best first 10 years of any player in Major League history. And we should never forget how breathtaking it was to watch Albert Pujols play at least those first 10 years with the Cardinals. I remember asking Tony Gwynn, one of our mutual favorites, Buster, this was many years ago, I said, who reminds you in today's game most of you? And I expected Ichiro or something like that. He goes, Albert Pujols. I went, what? He goes, yes. He hits the ball where it's pitched better than anyone in the game today. He takes that ball away from him and just rifles it to right center field. That, of course, is what Tony Gwynn did, hit the ball where it is pitched. That was Albert in his prime.
He was phenomenal, and I can understand why Tony would Tony would so greatly appreciate Albert.
Right. All right, Buster, that's enough for you. Let's get out of your little cubby hole at the Atlanta airport. Let's get on an airplane and get you home. And we need to have a long talk about your Monday mornings, Buster. You have to come up with something different than this. I feel sorry for you.
Yeah, we'll talk about it next Monday when I'm taking the red eye back from San Diego. Thanks, Tim.
Okay, Buster. Thank you.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11 ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Freddie Freeman is one of the most playful guys in the big leagues, as well as one of the best players in the league, and he had a really fun talk with Buster before the game.
What does Mother's Day mean to you?
The last several years of my life, obviously about 10, 11 years ago, it was a sad day, you know, for me, but now over the last 4 or 5 years, it's turned happy because I know my mom is super proud of her daughter-in-law, Chelsea, and our family and her grandkids. You know, my wife is pretty special, so it's definitely a happy time now, Mother's Day, because now I get to love on my stepmom, my wife, and all the mothers in the Freeman family. It's a special time for us.
What have you seen in Chelsea since the arrival of your two little boys?
Bags under the eyes. It's quite chaotic at the Freeman household right now, but just the love. That's all we wanted was more kids because we had a lot of love to give. So we get one down for a nap, the other one's awake. We got bottles going all over the place, but it's fun. It's what we wanted. It's all worth it. And it's just there's a lot of love going on right now, and we're all excited.
So this is not going to air until Sunday night. Okay. What Mother's Day plans do you have for Chelsea?
Well, her birthday was a couple weeks ago, and so we don't get much time with COVID. We're not getting out as much. So tomorrow I'm going to get cards. I get two cards myself, and then Charlie will pick out a card and he'll write in it. I got flowers coming. I got her a big kind of birthday gift, cause she turned 30 a couple weeks ago. So I kind of went big. So the reason why I got a big gift for her was because my grandma, who passed away last year, but she always said, it was the one birthday she cried at was when she turned 30. So I kind of went over the top with my wife's 30th birthday. So I think I got some leeway of flowers and some nice cards from us. We'll get us through it tomorrow, and hopefully a home run. We'll go for that. Maybe she'll like that, or a hit, because I haven't got one of those in a while. So
I'm going to play a little word association with you. Okay.
Okay.
Frederick.
Oh man. Anthony. See that everyone's now I'm going on the road and everyone's calling me that, which is great because that's my name. But Snit calls me that. We're on Washington. We all call each other by our real names because I call Snit Brian and I call Ronald. So they've always called me Frederick. But I haven't really had someone ever call me that in the middle of a rundown in a Major League Baseball game. So I actually have a shirt now that says, I think everyone saw it. It says that's Frederick, Freddie, and from Rizzo. So I actually wear that every day. So that was a fun moment.
What was the most unusual place that you heard that? Got to either by a player, someone on the field, or maybe even a fan.
Well, the fans are, I don't hear Freddie anymore on the road. It's always Frederick. It's kind of turned into like Larry, you know, a chipper, you know, and I'm getting my first name called, but that's okay. Cause I don't like the name Fred. So as long as you call me Freddie or Frederick, I love it. So, but I've always been called by Snit, so I'm used to it, but I've never had an opposing player really ever call me Frederick before. So it was unusual, and that's why it was just so funny to me, and I couldn't help but laugh when he was yelling at me in the middle of the rundown.
Players weekend, maybe back of your jersey?
Well, I think if people have really paid attention to it, I always put a family name on my back. So the last couple have been my brothers. So I was going to do everyone in my family calls my dad Papa Free. So I was thinking about doing Papa Free on my back because I always give the jersey to them. So, but I got a lot of kids now, so I don't know if Frederick's ever going to get on my back, but I think Papa Free is going to be it for this year.
How would you describe your showdown with hard-throwing Cubs lefty Anthony Rizzo?
That was the hardest thing. It's a lose-lose situation when you face a position player. You're supposed to get a hit, and then if you get a hit, and if you get out, it's the worst thing ever. But he was, before he even took his warm-up pitches, when he was hitting, he told me he was coming in to face me, and I just started laughing because I didn't think it was serious. And then all of a sudden, he got on the mound. And all he's doing is he's like warming his arm up. We're just laughing. And I was 4 for 4 in that game. And I just, when he got up there, I'm just laughing. I have no approach. And but it was fun. That's what I said after the game. It's for the smiles. It's for the laughs. That's what sports is to, you know, take your mind off some things and just have a good time watching. And I'm, unfortunately I struck out, but I think a lot of people, I've only heard positive things about it. That's what it's all about, is to put a smile and laugh on some people's faces.
Could there be revenge someday in the future, whether hitting or pitching?
See, I think if you talk to Snit, my one thing in my life is the pitch in a Major League Baseball game, because I pitched a lot growing up. I'm playing for only like two teams wanted me to hit coming out of the draft out of high school. So I used to throw hard. I still can throw pretty good, but I think I'm going to have to wait until at the end of my career. I don't see them letting me go on the mound, because I'm not going to be one to just lob it in there. I'm going to go for it. So hopefully Anthony and I can play till we're later in our careers and up in age where it doesn't matter if I blow out, you know, and I'm a bench player or something. So hopefully I'll get that opportunity, and I'll save it for Anthony.
What was the most amazing thing you've seen Ronald Acuña Jr. do on a field?
That's hard to put into words. You know, he seems to do something amazing, you know, every day. I've seen him score on a pop-up on sack fly. He's scored on to the shortstop. I've seen him hit a ball 495 feet. I see him hit balls that I usually hit pole side, and he hits them farther that way. So it's special. And I've always said it. It's just fun to be able to watch it and be a fan of it. And now that I get to hit second, I got a really good view from the on deck circle. So he's one of those generational talents that I hope people just like take a step back and realize what they're watching, because when all said and done, he's got a chance to be one of the best players of all time. He's that special. He's that gifted, and he wants to be special. So that's and he's got every tool. So he's been pretty amazing in his first 4 years in the league. And luckily we got a long time to watch him play this game.
Bleacher Tweets.
All right there, Timmy. It's an edition of Bleacher Tweets on a Monday, Juan, coming at you. First, we got Matt at Kayaking Smith. He writes in, lots of talk about low offensive production numbers, but we had our fourth no-hitter. Did MLB deaden the ball too much?
No. The ball has been deadened, but only slightly. It's maybe traveling 5 feet, you know, less than it did at this time last year. And I don't think that plays a big part in getting a hit. It may play a part in how many home runs are hit. But again, these four no-hitters and a .234 batting average from our players is mostly just about how dominant the stuff is that these players see every night, and the approach that our hitters are taking, the approach the game has told them to take. Get the ball in the air, lift it, and even if you strike out three times, that's okay as long as you're productive that fourth at bat. That's the problem. But it doesn't really matter about the approach until the hitters can figure out what to do with this spectacular stuff. So I don't think we've deadened the ball too much. I just think we need to regain the value of the hit, which I think we've lost over the last 5 years or so.
So I can't quite remember where this Bleacher tweet came from, but you actually surprised me when you were talking to Buster saying something needs to be done. And someone tweeted in talking about maybe using composite bats to speed up the swings of the hitters. How do you feel about that?
No, I think the hitter's bat speed is fine. Okay. I think the adjustment that needs to be made, Taylor, sorry, is something that we have to start in the batting cages with our 12-year-olds, our 10-year-olds, and we have to get to a point where we can teach them it's okay to hit a ball over there. It's okay to hit a ball on the ground once in a while. That's the only way to ask a player who has been swinging a certain way for literally the last 15 years. Okay, we need you to change everything that you've done the last 15 years. We need you to do it in season, and we want you to do it tonight facing Max Scherzer. Well, that has no chance of working. It's too late for some of our hitters to change the way that they approach they're at bats. It's too late. So we have to start with our younger kids and start to teach them the value of the hit. And we need to incentivize getting a hit. We need to make the batting championship an important thing. We need to pay them for getting hits, not just hitting homers. And that's going to take a long time also to get to that point.
Let's go to PK Steinberg next. He writes in, giving a loss to a pitcher in extra innings with this artificial runner on second base to start the inning is awful. Shouldn't that quote unquote losing pitcher be awarded a no decision?
Yeah, I see your point. Last year, Caleb Thielbar of the Twins came into a game. He faced five batters under this situation. He retired all of them, but because a runner started at second base, he ends up getting a loss in the game. Now you tell me how that is fair, that he comes into a game, faces five batters, gets them all out. There are no wild pitches, pass balls, anything else. And he gets the loss. It's not fair to give him a loss there. And I understand the point, you know, but this is what happens when we start messing with the fabric of the game. And I understand why we're doing it, to try to get games over quicker in order to keep players healthy during a pandemic. I get all of that, but I'm asking one more time, when we get back to traditional baseball, we cannot put a runner on second base to start the 10th inning, no matter how many people love it. And I get it. It's just not right for the numbers of the game, and the numbers of the game, the stats of the game have been so important for 150 years, and they still are today.
Let's go to Loco Landon next, at Loco Landon 7. He writes in, maybe the Astros should pick up Albert Pujols, give Yuli a couple DH games a week, and let Jordan have a few more plays in the outfield, plus the amount of home runs he's hitting Minute Maid. Seems like every time he plays in the park, he hits one. Maybe he'll get to 700 there. What do you think about this potential landing spot?
Well, Jordan Alvarez in the outfield is probably not a great idea. Yuli Gurriel is a really good hitter. And yes, I understand putting him at DH for a couple days, but I think you really weaken your defense potentially. And again, I love Albert Pujols, but if he's going to go to the Astros, which does indeed make some sense, veteran manager Dusty Baker will know how to use him, but he's such a prideful guy. I just don't think he's going to be willing to play part-time, coming off the bench, hitting a home run. That's important, but that's not who Albert Pujols is. So, and this is going to be entirely up to him. If he's willing to take a reduced role, a much reduced role, he can continue his big league career. But if he doesn't, I think we've seen him play his last game, and that makes me sad.
Last one for today, curveball. When we got started this morning, Tim, you said, oh, I got to run downstairs and grab some water. Was that code for running downstairs to grab some Diet Mountain Dew? And what is your Diet Mountain Dew setup in the hotel since you're spending so much time there?
No, I bring my Diet Mountain Dew with me. So I ran downstairs to get some water because I'm trying to hydrate better. But I drink a Diet Mountain Dew every morning while I read the box scores. It's one of my real pleasures in life. And you can't take that away from me. I don't have many vices. Just give me that. I'm down to two a day. That's an enormous thing for me. I was drinking much more than that. It tastes so good. But I'm down to two a day. I drink a lot more water. But yes, I bring my Diet Mountain Dew. My Diet Mountain Dew and my notebook go with me almost wherever I go. And that's pretty pathetic on both parts.
No, I would hard disagree. You know, everyone needs a little caffeine in the morning. It doesn't matter if it's soda or coffee, man. Who's the hater in your life that's like, get off the Diet Mountain Dew? Is your wife?
There are a lot of people who are correct in saying you should not be drinking a caffeinated drink this early in the morning. But it's my coffee because I'm the only 64-year-old baseball writer who's never had a cup of coffee.
It's all good. My wife drinks a Diet Coke every morning. So, you know, very relatable in this household.
To each his own.
Absolutely. All right. That does it for Bleacher Tweets for today. Thanks to everyone for writing in. Thanks to Tim for filling in. And hopefully Buster makes it home in one piece. Thanks, everyone.
Okay, and thanks everyone for joining us here on the Baseball Podcast. Buster will be back with us all week, and I will be speaking to you probably a week from today as Buster somehow flies home overnight on a red eye. We have to have a long talk with that boy.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight Podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight Podcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.